bleeding from the crown of thorns he wore. His heart was so heavy from the cross he bore. Wounded and weary, he gave his life and so much more. It was love that took him to the cross. Amazing love, amazing love. How could it be that God would give his son for me to pay my sin debt and let me go free? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus gave his life for me. So undeserving of his love, but oh, I'm thankful for his precious blood. Though I'll never understand, I'll gladly love amazing, amazing love. How could it be that God would give his son for me to pay my sin debt and let me go free? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus gave his life for me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amazing love, how could it be that Jesus gave his life for me?
Special, amazing love. How can it be? If you would please take your Bibles and turn with me to John in chapter 1. We'll go to the fourth gospel, John in chapter 1. And when you find your place there, if you would please stand with me as you're able to as we read God's word this morning. I've enjoyed the singing, I've enjoyed the giving, I've enjoyed all of it, but now it's time for the preaching of God's word, and we're looking forward to that this morning. John chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 14. We'll read down to verse 18. I'll start off and I'll read the first verse, and then if you'll pick up reading on the second verse in verse 15, and I'll read the odd verses, you read the even, and we'll finish up at verse 18. John in chapter 1, I'll read verse 14. You pick up at verse 15 with me. The Bible says this, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him." "He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Our Father, we do love you. We're so thankful that you've given us the opportunity to be in church. Lord, I ask that you would meet with us this morning. Lord, we're thankful for the singing and for the Sunday school hour, for all the different services that are going on. But we're asking that right now as the preaching begins, you'd help us to focus on what you have for us. Be with Pastor Becker. Please give him power. Please give him wisdom as he preaches. Use him in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open as we look in John chapter 1 this morning. As we get to the preaching time, I want to encourage you to turn your cell phones off or silent. And no doubt you hear that everywhere that you go. And church should be a sacred place where we can turn those things off. Amen. And so that'd be good. And if you'd help me out when the service begins, if you stay in your seat, that would be helpful. If you have to leave, I understand. But if you can, try to stick around. That'd be great. In John chapter number 1, we look at this passage here. And I want to preach about one word this morning. One word. It's a small word, but it's a very powerful word. This word is often misunderstood. It's often misused. It is something that we have all experienced, and it's this word called grace. Grace. Grace is defined as undeserved or unmerited favor. Undeserved or unmerited favor. The acrostic you could see if you were to look at each letter for the word of grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. See, grace is this. Grace is getting something that I don't deserve. Any of you experienced any of the grace of God in your life? Amen? A gift. That's how grace is defined in the Bible. And the greatest example of the grace of God is salvation. The greatest example of the grace, a gift of God that I do not deserve, I cannot work for, is the gift of grace through salvation. Many people think of grace as another word for mercy, but they're different. See, mercy is not getting what I do deserve. There's times as a child there was things that I deserved that I did not get. There's other times that I got things that I did not deserve, but that made up for the other times I got away with something, right? You know what I'm talking about. Mom, I didn't really do it, but what about all the times she never caught you for what you did? I tell my kids, if you do wrong, God's going to tell me. Just let that sink in a little bit on them. A little of the fear of God is great. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. You ever experienced the mercy of God? Right? Grace and mercy. They're a beautiful picture in the Bible of grace as getting what I don't deserve, a gift. You like gifts today? Amen? Oh, that was pretty weak because I know that you mean that even more than that. If someone said, I have a gift for you, and if all the men could say, if it was food, you'd be happy with that, wouldn't it? You'd be happy. A gift. And someone said, I made this for you. And you went, praise the Lord, as long as it's not gluten-free, right? Put all the gluten in there you want. I'm good with it. But mercy is not getting what you do deserve, a punishment. See, grace is getting something, expecting nothing in return. Grace is when God gives you something. God has bestowed His grace, His love upon you, expecting nothing in return. That's a gift. A gift that we receive from God. Grace cannot be earned. Grace cannot be worked for, because I cannot work myself into the favor of God. We'll look at that here in a little bit. But by God's grace, God has bestowed gifts upon each and every one of us. Misunderstandings of grace is this. People think of this, well, grace means that I have an excuse to sin. I get a free ticket. You know, you ever play Monopoly? Which, I hate the game of Monopoly. I don't have the patience to play a two-hour game to where you're buying everything that's not real. I don't have the patience for it. And you get that get-out-of-jail-free card, right? And you get that card and say, I'm getting out for free. See, grace is not that get-out-of-jail-free card where I say, well, I get to do whatever I want, and by God's grace, He's going to forgive me of anything, so I get to do whatever I want, and you all get to deal with it. That's what society does today. I get to do whatever I want, and you should just accept it. That's not grace. That's not the grace of God. That's an excuse to live however we want in the sight of God and saying, God, you have to accept it. That's not grace. Grace should not be abused either to hurt God. Grace is saying, well, I can do it as much as I want and you have to forgive me, and that's grace. By God's grace, God forgives. But God also has another side of called judgment as well. Amen? The part that we don't like to talk about. See, I love the mercy part. I love the grace part. Here's the thing. I love the grace of God, don't you? Amen. Amen. The undeserved, unmerited favor of God, that God has blessed me. Amen. Far more than I deserve. Right? Can you say that God's blessed you today? Amen. Amen. So much. And by God's mercy, there's a whole lot of things I deserve that God has not bestowed upon me as well. That judgment that I deserve by the grace of God. See, Calvinism means this, and misunderstanding of grace is that there is an irresistible grace. And it's in regards to salvation, the irresistible grace that they talk about in Calvinism is this. It's a belief that God's saving grace cannot be ultimately resisted by those he has chosen for salvation. Meaning this, God says, I chose you to be saved. You cannot refuse that salvation. That's not a gift. See, a gift is offered. It's not forced. Right? It's not forced. God doesn't force you to do anything. He'll make you really want to do it, won't he? He'll make you want to do it. Why? Because you see how blessed you are if you receive that grace of God by following the Lord. But also the other side, I realize that God's punishment on me if I don't do what God has asked me to do. In regards to this with salvation, this irresistible grace that I cannot refuse salvation, even if I want to, because God chose me to be saved. But if God chose some to be saved, then he chose others not to be saved. Right? And the Bible says the grace of God hath appeared to all men. Well, that takes away that subject of Calvinism, right? That God's grace has appeared to all. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That we have been offered grace. Amen? Think of Jesus Christ on the cross as his arms were nailed open wide. Amen? A picture of the grace of God that's appeared to all men and the grace of God that was shown to those men next to him, but the one that received him, that thief on the cross that said, Jesus, I know that you're God. I know that you're the Christ, and I know that I'm a sinner. And Jesus turned to him and said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Did he deserve that gift? No, he didn't. But God offered that gift of salvation. See, here's the thing. I like receiving grace, don't you? Too many times we don't like giving grace, do we? Right? I like to receive it, but I don't like to give it. That's what society is today. You see, you need to forgive me, but then we cut others off in a moment, don't we? See, that's not grace. See, I have freely been given the grace of God, that I don't deserve, that I've not earned, that God has bestowed upon me, and the grace that I've been given, I can take that same grace and offer that to others as well. So what is grace? Number one is this. To understand grace, we must realize who we are without Christ. To understand grace, we must understand who we are without Christ. See, we like to look at ourselves as we are good. We're good people. Hey, without Christ, I'm a sinner. Right? Without Christ, I'm wretched. I'm lost. Without Christ, I have no good in me at all. And neither do you. Without the grace of God, without Christ, I am nothing. Without the grace of God, I am hopeless. Without the grace of God, you're not supposed to amen that part. Without the grace of God, I am hopeless. Without the grace of God, I'm deserving of death. Right? And so are you. Without the grace of God, I am empty. Without God in my life, I'm an empty person with no joy, no peace, no contentment. I have nothing without Christ. See, to try to make a life without Christ is foolish. It's empty. There's no joy. There's no peace. You may find it for a moment, but until you experience the grace of God, that God gives that salvation, and that he continues to give over and over and over again, you realize how blessed that we are. Think about who you would be without Christ today. It's a scary thought, isn't it? Where would I be? Were it not for grace, I can't tell you where I'd be. Wandering down some pointless road to nowhere. Where would I be without Christ until the grace of God that appeared in my life? Think about where you would be without Christ. Now, not looking over the other side of the fence thinking, ooh, I want to go over there. But when you realize who you are without Christ, you don't want to leave God. Amen? Now, you cannot lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. Amen? Once given, always given, a gift of eternal life. We're sealed until that day of redemption. Without Christ, I am nothing. Realize that. Too many times we think, well, I could go make a name for myself without God. I could go have all this stuff without God. The grace of God that appeared to me, I don't want to leave that. That joy, that peace, that contentment, that love that only comes from God. Remember this, that we are undeserving of God's grace. Undeserving. You are undeserving of the grace of God. I'm undeserving of God's love, of His grace. I can't earn any of it. But God looked at me completely undeserving, helpless, hopeless, alone, and said, He reached out His hand of grace in my life. Look at where you would be, where you could be, or maybe where you are without Christ. Remember, we cannot earn God's grace, but I'm thankful we can receive the grace of God. Amen? Think about where you are without Christ. To understand grace, we must see Christ for who He is. To understand grace, you must understand Christ. To understand God for who He is. Look at John chapter 1 and verse number 14. The Bible says, and the Word. Notice anything special about that word? Word? The capital W, the Word, referring back to John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we're speaking about God here, Jesus Christ, and the Word was made flesh, amen, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, amen. We beheld our Savior. I did not physically get to see Jesus Christ, but someday we'll get to see my Savior. Think about that day where you enter heaven and you get to see your Savior. Of all the things I'm looking forward to seeing, of the beauty in heaven, of all the loved ones that have gone before, but to see your Savior and to see Him for who He is. And the Bible says here in verse number 14, and it says, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full, the Bible says, of grace and truth. He's full of grace. Amen? But He's full of truth. You cannot part the two. Full of grace and truth. The full of grace. This word full is available. Think about this. Available, covered, complete, and perfect. This full of grace, it's available, it's complete, it's available to you, and it only comes through Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the grace of God. I want you to look down in verse number 16, and the Bible says, and of His fullness have all we received. And it says this, and grace for grace. And grace for grace. This word, this term, grace for grace, is it's abundant and it's overflowing. Aren't you thankful for that? The grace of God that's abundant and overflowing. See, you can reach the end of my grace, right? You've been there before. Your patience, your grace, your mercy that you may bestow on others. See, you may come to the end of my grace. See, I'm not rich like Christ is rich. Right? I don't have all that God has to offer, but God's grace is overflowing. It's abundant. It's available for all, and grace heaped upon grace. I don't know about you, but you get a bowl of ice cream, you want it half full or you want that thing full? You want it over. You ever order a meal at a restaurant? You order that meal. I'm a picture person. I'm a visual person, and I look for the pictures, all right? I get the menus that you can color on. No, I don't do that. You ever order a meal, and as your meal's coming, and you see someone walk by you with another meal, and you go, ooh, that looks good. I should have ordered that one right there, right? You ever done that? Or the person sitting across from you, and they get their meal, and you go, ooh, that looks better than mine. You want to trade? You want to go halvesies, and you get half, I get half, kind of a deal. See, God's grace, it's abundant. It's overflowing, the grace of God that satisfies. When you receive of the grace of God for your salvation, for your life, you're not looking on the other side thinking, ooh, that looks better, because you realize how good you have it. Amen? You realize how good God has been. And grace for grace, it's overflowing, it's abundant. And then the Bible says here in verse number 17, it says here, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came. Amen? That it's available. That Jesus Christ came to be the sacrifice, the payment for our sin. It's available, the Bible says, to all. See, to understand grace, we must see Christ for who He is. We serve a perfect God. Amen? We'll never know perfection in this life. We'll never know holiness. We'll never know righteousness in this life. You'll never find a person that's been sinless until you meet our Savior. Amen? You'll never meet anyone that loves like Christ loves. You'll never meet anyone that forgives like Christ forgives. You'll never meet anyone that gives grace and mercy and bestows that on us other than Jesus Christ. The Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful for the grace of God, that it's full, it's abundant, it's available, and it's overflowing, the grace that God has bestowed upon us. Too many times I think we look at ourselves and we think how good we are, how much we've arrived, and that somehow, we're prideful in the sight of God and others and looking how great we are. When we understand grace, you understand how low that we are, how undeserving we are, how little I am, that I'm nothing without God. But then we understand how great God is. You see, when you're low, there's only one way to look, and that's up. And you look up to God, your Savior, and you see God for who He is, and God's hand of mercy and grace reaches out. I'm thankful for the grace of God. I read this week. It says, this grace is always available and adequate. It is ours for the taking. When we receive His grace, He says, come back again when you need some more. All this giving does not impoverish Him, for He has unlimited stores of grace. That God offers grace upon grace upon grace. Again, grace is not to be misunderstood and misinterpreted, to use it however you want, to abuse the grace of God, to say, well, I get to live however I want. No. That's when God's judgment comes in, right? That's when God puts a stop to that. 1 Peter 5:10 says, but the God of all grace, think about that, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, makes you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. He's the God of all grace. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Aren't you thankful for the avenue of prayer? Right? I'm not deserving to come to God in prayer, are you? Right? Are you deserving to come to God in prayer? I'm not. I don't deserve to come to God. But when God says, I've opened up that door through Jesus Christ, the blood that's been offered for my salvation, and now I can come boldly to the throne of grace. I come boldly to the throne of God, and God offers grace to help, the Bible says, to find grace to help in time of need. Aren't you thankful for that grace where you can come to God in time and say, God, I need grace. God, I need help. God, I need forgiveness. And God offers that grace again and again and again. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. We serve a God that's rich in grace. And when we come to God, we see God for who He is. To understand grace, we must understand who we are without Christ. To understand who He is, and then thirdly, to understand grace, we must see who we are with Christ. Amen? To understand who we are with Christ. I'm thankful that when you get saved, you are adopted, you're born into the family of God. The blood of Jesus Christ that forgives you of your sin, and I'm part of the family of God. Amen? You have a new family. You have a new name. You have a new home in heaven. You have Jesus Christ. You have a Father. Are you thankful for who you become when you get saved and the grace of God that's been applied to your life? To understand grace, we must see who we are with Christ. Paul said this in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Think about that. Only by the grace of God, I am what I am. Don't get so far ahead of Christ that you forget who you are without Christ. Right? Too many times we receive that grace of God at salvation, but then we take that and we say, well, I'm saved. I've got my fire insurance. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. And God will never take that away. But then we say, now I get to do whatever I want. I get to go my own way. And you forget who you are without Christ. To understand grace, we must see who we are with Christ. Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Think about the grace that God has bestowed upon you and your life. I'm undeserving of the salvation that God has given to me. I'm undeserving of the family that God has given to me. I'm undeserving of the church that God has given to me, a home in heaven, being in the will of God. I'm undeserving of that. But by the grace of God, as Paul said, I am what I am. Do you see yourself properly the way that God sees you? Without God, I'm nothing. Without God, I have nothing. But with Christ, I have attached to the riches of His grace. Because of the grace of God, I'm forgiven. I have eternal life. I have hope and purpose and get to live in the will of God. Aren't you thankful for that? You get to be a part of God's perfect plan for your life. Realize this, that God created you. Like I said, the grace of God has appeared to all men. If you have breath and life today, you've experienced the grace of God. Amen? We've all experienced the grace of God, but if you're saved, you get to be in the will of God, to realize that God created me, that God formed me, that God reached out His hand and saved me and then said, I have a plan for your life, a special plan just for you. You ever think about that? Not that God has a plan for everyone, and He does, but that God has a plan for my life, for me, that I get to be part of God's perfect will. I get to live out why God created my life. Think about that. You get to experience the grace of God when you get to walk in the will of God. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, but grow in grace. Too many people think, well, I get to have grace so that I can walk away from God. No, no, no. You have grace so that you can live for God. Amen? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. To grow in grace. Are you growing as a Christian today? Are you growing? Are you doing more for God today than you were yesterday? Are you striving to do more for God, or are you trying your best to get away from God? You know how that works when the boss comes in the room and they say, I need a volunteer for a job. Everyone speaks up, right? Oh, pick me. I'd love to do it. The teacher comes in and said, I need someone to do a chore. Or mom and dad, right? Mom and dad, let me go check out your room, right? Let me check on your chores. And too many times we're trying to get away from what we're supposed to do, aren't we? But by the grace of God, but grow in grace, saying, God, I want to do your will. See, that's understanding grace and saying, God, I've been given salvation for free. I've been given so much. How can I use what you've given to me for you? To live out the grace of God in your life. The Bible says in James 4:16, but He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know the song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You've received the grace of God, haven't you? Everyone has. Everyone's received some portion or part of the grace of God, but do you know Him as your Savior? See, God's grace was offered on the cross. He gave His life. He shed His blood for the payment for your salvation. But a gift that is offered must also be received. Have you received the gift of salvation that God has offered in your life? It cannot be earned. It can't be worked for. You must simply receive it. Only by the grace of God. Grace is offered by God's sacrifice on the cross. Grace should be received at that moment of salvation. But then grace should be practiced. It should be taken, that gift that God has given to me, and it should be taken and put into obedience and practice in my life. But then also grace should be offered to others as well. I should take what God has given to me, and I should offer grace to others. With head bowed and eyes closed today, do you understand grace? I can't say that I fully understand the grace of God, but I sure am thankful for it, aren't you? the grace of God, the Bible says, it's appeared to all men. I don't deserve the grace.